The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe. And it's that time of the morning that we discuss a face of business, geopolitics, trade, economics, and everything that affect our bread and butter. And we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM, wherever you are finding yourself. And we understand some of you, you are on your way to work. Some of you are on your way home. Some of you are up already looking for universities for your kids, or looking for tertiary institutions for those who made it yesterday. And you know, the dust is settling. Those who made it are celebrating, and also those who did not make it. Some have cried. They were so shattered. But what is important is that is your ability to pick yourself up, because the world is not waiting for you. Either you are not in a good mood, either you are devastated. People are still moving forward, but you need to make sure that after all the devastation, after all the shocking news, you have to make sure that you pick yourself up and look ahead, and also make sure that there is always something that you are able to do, because there is a lot of options. There is a lot of opportunities. There is a lot of try and error. And also, the message is very clear, to say let us support those who made it, and let us not neglect those who did not make it, especially the learners who, received their results yesterday. Let us also make sure that those who did not make it, they are supported. And an unperforming child is not a bad child. It's just a child who need assistance and also understanding. And also, we must also be able to teach our children picking themselves up from failure, because those who failed and come back from failure, they will be having strong characters than those who did not fail at all, because life will test you one way or the other. That is why at the beginning of the day, you always need to make sure that I wake up with a very strong outlook on the day. Draft your plan for the day. What are the key things that you are going to do? Because if you look at what you are going to do today, and you realize that no, you do not have a plan for the day, you must go back and also draft that plan. You can either write it on your phone, put it in mind, or write it on a piece of paper. Because if you have a daily plan, you can also have a weekly plan, and you also be able to have monthly and yearly plan. And it's quite interesting. If you are able to achieve your daily plan, then everything is set. That's why we need to make sure that we start from there, while we are at the beginning of the year, and also push through, and not to repeat the same mistakes that we have done last year, because that is called growth. Because what you were last week is not how you are today. Because if you ask somebody who is 90 years old how he ended up at 90, he will tell you that it's a shock of his life, because you were just young. Just imagine yourself as a young person at the primary school without any responsibility. But look at yourself now. Look at how old you are now. And by tomorrow, you're also not going to be at the same, although same age, but not same hours. Which means that every day we are growing up. But as Africans, we believe that growth should come with wisdom. That's why we must also grow, and not only in terms of age, but also in terms of wisdom. And that is exactly what we need to do. So yeah, while we are here, we are looking at what is happening in the continent of Africa before we come at home. What is happening the continent of Africa. It's quite interesting. It's quite interesting to look, especially tomorrow is D-Day for Uganda. Uganda is going to general elections, that is tomorrow, where the long-serving leader of Uganda, that is General President Yoweri Museveni, is going to contest. He stated that for the last time, to contest for the last time, and there is an opponent, a young lawyer, former musician, Bobby Wine. But the news which are coming to us here stated that military is deployed to Kampala as Uganda get ready for general elections. Say there is a military deployment. Now you do not know now, is it intimidation or is it part of the general routine? But they stated that military is deployed in Kampala, Uganda, get ready for general elections. And those who are in Uganda are able to see military personnel patrolling and also deploying around the capital city. And this also came when President Yoweri Museveni and his political opponent are having their final rally. And it's also interesting to look at the Uganda Communication Commission yesterday directed mobile internet providers to temporarily suspend service less than 48 hours before elections. And this is a contradictory news because last week the same communication body in Uganda stated that there will be no shutdown of internet, but the directive is given to say 48 hours before elections in Uganda there will be no internet, and one of the quoted reasons here is controlling electoral fraud, citing misinformation, incitement of violence, and it is stated, statement is indicating that restoration of this internet service will only happen, will only be done after elections, and the notice will be provided by Uganda Communication Commission. And, I'm always indicating to say, in Namibia, we must celebrate that we are in a very peaceful country. And we must also understand that when it's come to maturity of democracy, we are a bit ahead. We are a bit ahead. And freedom, although there are people who can say we do not have absolute freedom, but when it's come to freedom, especially within the democratic principles, we must be able to understand that other countries, you are going through elections. Imagine you are going through elections and military is deployed, armed, not just empty-handed, but fully armed. And somebody who is contesting is a former military general and is a former revolutionary leader who came to power in the 1980s and who has been in power for almost 40 years. Then you can be able to realize that there's a lot of political intimidation. And looking at international news and also looking at private media, you'll be able to see that the whole Uganda, especially in Kampala, is painted yellow. Okay, the trucks, everything is painted yellow. And there is posters of General Museveni. And you're asking yourself to say, is it fair in terms of giving space for political campaign? Or is this part of the strategy to win election? Is it fair? And let us hope there will be no political violence. Let us hope there will be no political violence, because when it comes to Africa, what we have seen in the past 8 months has not been good, especially when it's coming to the image of Africa. Let us hope there will be no political violence, especially when Ugandans are going to general elections. That is tomorrow. And analysis are indicating to say incumbent versus youth challenger. To say Bobby Wine has majority of the young population. It's majority of the young population that can relate to him. And you must also be able to see that the veteran of the liberation within Uganda, and also the old age segment, and also some young people are still with Yoweri Museveni. Because one thing that you should not take away from African leaders is that sometimes you see a person has been around, but it depends on the constituency that you are defending. It also depends on the constituency that you have, because the outcome depends on what the people of Uganda are going to elect tomorrow. And the constitution is saying everybody, especially who meet the requirement, has a right to contest. That's why you cannot say you are picking a young person. You are picking somebody who has been around for 40 years. What is democracy saying about that? But the concern here is the presence of the military, fully armed, and they have sharp box, and they also have AK-47 assault rifle, and fully armored vehicles are seen in Uganda. And you're asking yourself, is it to keep peace, is it to protect the citizens, or is it to intimidate the citizens? But it seems like Bobby Wine is determined, and is determined to challenge one of his long-term opponent. And looking at the history of opposition party in Africa, now, these are some of the people who have really suffered. When you look at the history of Bobby Wine, how many times he was kidnapped, beaten up, jailed, and he's still standing. Let's see. But you must also be able to realize that it's not only Bobby Wine, it's not only Yoweri Museveni, he also have other contestants, but these are the main opponent that people are looking into. And will the president of Uganda, if defeated, give power? Will he give power if he is defeated? And what will happen if he win? Will also the young people accept if he wins? And where is the African Union in terms of this? Because, you know, one thing that we must be able to remember is that if we are not handling our democracy very well, nobody is coming to assist us. If we end up in conflict in Africa again, or we continue to be in conflict, nobody will come and assist us, because African Union is already struggling with funding. United States of America is saying, no, we are cutting out fundings. And yesterday we were speaking about the African Union chairperson, the chairperson of African Union Commission, who said that they are willing and they are looking forward to engage the United States of United States of America, especially regarding funding and support for the UN agencies, particularly those who are playing a major role in Africa, either it's fighting of poverty or in maintaining of peace and stability. That's why if you are not handling our security, our peace very well, no one can come and assist us. We'll continue to kill each other. We'll continue to destroy our infrastructure. And, you know, we'll go back, 20 years back, and, we'll forget about Agenda 2063. Because remember, even when you look at, 1993, 1994 in Rwanda, you'll be able to realize that, the underfunded UN peacekeeping mission, at that point, was not able even to prevent the genocide, which killed almost a million people within 8 months. But in the situation that we are living in the situation that we are living in, where terrorists or insurgents are still a case in Africa, we must be able to remember that we must be careful, because no one can come and assist us. United States of America, in the next 3 years, they are going to focus on their domestic affairs. And the question that everybody is asking is to say, what have we learned in those years that we were getting assistance? Were we just depending, or we have also learned something from that? Yeah, moving forward. There's bad news coming from Burkina Faso. Coming from Burkina Faso there. To say the former Burkina Faso minister was murdered at her house in Ouagadougou. And the statement is indicating that the former minister, the former Burkina Faso minister, Yolande Viviane Compaore, has been assassinated at her home in Ouagadougou. That happened the beginning of this week. And it's stated that her body was discovered at her home on Saturday. Her body was discovered at the home on Saturday, and evidence found that, especially evidence which came out recently, found that, you know, she was assaulted and murdered, and the authority have opened an investigation and appeal for any witness to come forward. And Compaoré was an influential figure during the presidency of Blaise Compaoré, the former governor of Northern Region and the member of parliament for the former ruling party, the CDP. And, you know, assassination, especially of a woman in Burkina Faso, it's quite concerning. It's concerning to say what is really happening in the political scene of Burkina Faso. What is really happening in the political scene of Burkina Faso? And one would also be able to look at former minister Viviane Compaoré. Say she has been a minister during Blaise Compaoré's administration. And I was checking in terms of relations, because although the same names are looking the same, to be able to realize that there's no direct relations, but maybe in a long time to come, in a long run to come. But it stated that she was violated, she was assaulted and killed. And you'll be able to remember that before that, political Burkina Faso has been filled with political coup after coup, because the past four leaders of Burkina Faso before elections, the past four leaders of Burkina Faso, they came to power through coup. Even Captain Thomas Sankara came to power through coup. And be able to realize that after 1987 there, when Sankara was overthrown and killed, his comrade and close associate, Blaise Compaoré, took power. And he has been in power for a very long time, until the popular uprising in 2014 that led for him to run away from the country. And there has been an ongoing investigation, especially when it comes to assassination of the well-known figure Thomas Sankara in Burkina Faso, especially directed to the former president. And look what has been happening these days before you know, the killing of Yolande Viviane Compaoré, the former minister within the administration of Blaise Compaoré in Burkina Faso. We'll be able to realize that able to realize that Ibrahim Traore is also, you know, happened to survive a coup that is last week, happened to survive a coup, and authority indicated that some members of the military and also some members of officials were arrested. And just to also to ask a question to say, what will happen in the long run? What will happen in the long run? Do we have sustainability in terms of military leadership? Do we have sustainability in terms of military leadership? And what will happen moving forward? So let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll continue with the conversation. Don't forget, the Villager newspaper for today is out. And we'll also be able to go through, especially in the course of our conversation. And remember, today, our conversation will be speaking more. We'll be speaking more on issues that are related to human trafficking. Issues that are related to human trafficking. We'll look at some of the records and the news, and also to indicate that these are some of the things that are not really openly discussed, but these are things which are continuing to happen. And it's not only in West Africa, it's not only the northern part of Africa, but also Namibians, they become part of human trafficking. We also contribute to those statistics, and also to see especially from the recent released statement from Ministry of International Relations and Trade, especially when Namibians, around 24 Namibians, found themselves in southern part of Asia, that is Thailand and also Myanmar. And you must also be able to indicate that there are various forms of human trafficking, and you can also see what need to be done and how to prevent this, and also ask a question to say, who is in charge of protecting the citizens of Namibia? How should we make sure that information are distributed openly so that the Namibians should not become a victim of human trafficking and end up in very difficult situations, and we protect our citizens? And also, what led these people to become part of those who are lured to enter into those jurisdiction. Particularly when you speak about Thailand, and you also look at the records of U.S. State Department, you will also be able to see that there's been one of the country which under monitoring by U.S. State Department, especially known for human trafficking. And we will also be able to look at what happened when somebody is trafficked out of his country. What happened to this person? And also what end up happening? And what is Thailand is known for. And let us also hope that those Namibians will come back home in one piece, safely, get assistance, either is psychological assistance and all form of assistance, that integrated back into the community, and also to bring about this open information and conversation to say what happened after somebody is trafficked, and also can we also come to the point where information is distributed openly to that extent to say, this is what you need to do when you are moving out of the country, this is what happened to you if you end up in this situation, and this is what need to be done to protect the Namibian people. Because remember, last year 7 people were repatriated from Middle East there, due to finding themselves also in difficult situation, being victim of human trafficking. But no information was given. These people end up not really telling their stories, but they were supposed to come and tell their story so that we can advise one another, so that we can protect one another. And so it's not only Namibians, but people from around the world who are scammed, who end up performing jobs that they did not think about, jobs that they did not applied for, and they end up doing the unthinkables. And some of them, people end up also losing their lives and dignity within those zones. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we continue the conversation.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And before we go to the conversation for today, you know, looking at international affairs, it is indicated that officials from Denmark and Greenland are yet to meet the Vice President of the United States of America. That is J.D. Vance, and Secretary of the State, that is Marco Rubio, over diplomatic frictions. Be able to realize that for the past 2 months or so, United States have been persistent, especially when it comes to taking over or controlling of Greenland, which has been part of the Kingdom of Denmark. And there have been a lot of diplomatic frictions, especially between Denmark and the United States of America. And also the NATO allies. But it seems like, this delegation, especially to the United States of America, on dealing with this issue. Especially regarding concern when Europeans, they also realize to say, no, Trump cannot just take Greenland like that because we are part of the same institution, US and NATO, been part of the same institution. But they have chosen diplomacy, which we have to see how it is going to materialize, especially when it comes to taking of Greenland. And Greenland has been a state, but it's a dependent land, although under Denmark Kingdom, there's its own prime minister, and there's also its own government, but although it's not within the United Nations, but is operating under the Kingdom of Denmark and the Danish, and the US have been in conflict, especially regarding that aspect. You have to see how the development is going to turn out, how the development is going to turn out. The other thing, I think what is happening is that there are indications, some of the statistics to say some 2,000 people have been killed in Iran since protests erupted from the end of last year. And those were some of the reports, especially from US-based activists and human rights agency. To understand that when it comes to Iran and the US backed protest. There's a lot of things going on. Be able also to see, if you read the statement from social media post of the President of the United States of America, indicated that assistance or help is on their way, and encouraging people to continue protesting for their rights in Iran. And there's about 1,800 800 people who are reported to have been killed. Those are some of the statistics coming from US-based agency. But there's also counter statistics which are coming through and also denounce the death of protesters, especially those who are seeking for revolution, freedom in Iran. But what is very interesting, you may be able to realize that stated that also Iran government and also the pro-government supporter, they also came up with counter-protest. So come up with counter-protest, especially in support of the government, in support of the government. And if you look around on TV, you see that the president is also on the street, especially with his supporter, coming up with counter-protest, especially in defending of the standing Islamic regime. We're able to realize that the foundation of Iran regime is very tough. And I've seen one analyst is indicating that nothing from outside can defeat Iran yet. Maybe the only thing is only when the regime eat itself from the inside, but that is not likely to happen, because Israel have tried last year. We have seen what have happened, and Iran has been standing. Other Arabian countries have been falling, but Iran is still standing. And you're also asking yourself to say, maybe they also master the art of psychological warfare, because if you read and follow, like what have happened in Guatemala in the 1960s, you'll be able to realize that one of the things which caused the revolution is psychological warfare. The US-backed rebels at that time, and looking at the classified document, you realize to say they were not able to do anything militarily. But the president was just cornered by psychological warfare. People are just passing wrong information to say the military is coming. People are against you until to the point that a person resigned. But it seems like Iran, there's a lot of things which is happening in Iran. There's a lot of things which is happening in Iran. Although there is anti-riot, authority which is standing. And you must be able to realize that the structure of Iran government and also military set to that extent that nothing can overthrow the government. Because looking at it, you have the ordinary military, you have the navy, you have the air force, but you also have independent military organization. That is called the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. That entirely, their aim is to defend what is called the revolution, is to defend the authority. And they answer directly to the supreme leader and receive instruction directly to the supreme leader. And even if you take out the head, you have the executive power. You have also a council of high priests. And you also have the supreme leader, who after you take one, another will be appointed. And something what is very difficult, especially looking at that aspect. But we are yet to see what will happen in the future. We are yet to see what will happen in the future. And it seems like they all have abandoned the war in Ukraine. Because what is happening now in Ukraine is that, Zelensky is cornered. Zelensky is a bit cornered, especially looking at the past intensified attack from Russia. And it seems like the world is no more looking at there. We are a bit distracted. We are only looking at the Venezuela case, and we are also looking at the Iranian case. But looking at the case of Ukraine, you'll be able to see that the situation is not It's not going well there. It's not going well there, especially when it's coming to destruction of properties and the death of the people in Ukraine. And seems like the world global power, they are making time to pursue their global strategic interest. And you're also looking at the case of UN to say, what is UN going to do? What are some of the measures that are going to be put out there? Is UN only effective when it's dealing with African situation, or it's very difficult to deal with the situation of you know, the global power? And who is going to call the shots in directing the UN to act in that regard? So let's look at a short commercial break, then we can look at the conversation for today, especially looking at human trafficking, to see what is really human trafficking and what is really happening, and how come over 20 Namibians find themselves in South of Asia and also end up crying to the authority to say, please take us home, please take us home. What is happening here is not what we expected, it's not what we have signed for. And also maybe to look at our young and ambitious young people, especially those of us who want to get rich very fast, those of us who look at internet without filtering, look at internet and see somebody abroad thinking that money will fall from heaven. And also to advise especially young children, I mean young teen, young ladies, beautiful ladies, they end up being scammed, just being told to say, I'm going to become a model here in Thailand. Then you end up being trafficked and end up in a zone, especially people who are traded for sexual, end up being traded, and you end up you know, being forced into sexual activities, and without you understanding the language, without you understanding the environment, by the time you understand everything, either you are already you know, defeated, or to the point that you end up also having no option. Some people end up having no option and decide to cope with what they have already. Then your life is already destroyed. But we'll look into that aspect to say, what are some of the key things? What is that Thailand is known for? And Myanmar, what are they known for? What are the statistics from the US State Department are saying? What is Interpol saying about Thailand? And also, how many Namibians out there have ambitions of going abroad? Do they have understanding? Are they using proper channels? And also the question is that, who are supposed to protect us? Do I really need to come from Namibia and my government does not know where I'm going? And maybe it's also a question that we should also pose, especially to Home Affairs and Immigration and also Ministry of International Relations too, to say, people are leaving your country, but do you really know where they are going? Do you verify where they are going? Or I should just leave Namibia and I come back, I'm recruited by Boko Haram and start causing trouble? Because it's the responsibility of the government to protect our people inside, you know, from inside threat and also outside threat. Because if somebody understand how the state is operating, to say, people must be known to say, if you are leaving the country, for how long? Where are you going to study? Is it an accredited institution, or you are just going there? You're going to be aware, not just to leave Namibia to say, no, we are relieved, but also to see the records to say, how do these people end up there, really? Who facilitated those process? And did they go directly from Namibia? Did they go directly from Namibia? What route have they used? And also, what are the measures in place too, to make sure that what have happened should not happen again? And what assistance do these people get? Because coming from those zones, imagine somebody said you are going to become a model. Then you find yourself in a private lounge in a club in Thailand or Myanmar. Or you find yourself working as a fisherman, forced labor, in a zone that you don't understand, in the middle of the ocean, the language that you don't understand. By the time you come back home, you need some assistance. You need some, you need to be integrated back, because some people, these people end up traumatized. It's not a very good experience. But, what happened? What need to be done? And also how to protect our citizen, and who is really responsible for protection of our citizen. So it's 43 minutes, but of 6, we are progressing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. You can engage us at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. Ask your question, give your contribution, and also your constructive criticism, because we are here to teach one another, especially when it comes to Namibian affairs, especially when it comes to issues of development. And part of development, as we have stated, is security. You cannot have a developed state without security. That's why you see powerful nations. They always have a strong security system. They always have a strong police system. They always have a strong military to make sure that that of which they have worked hard for is protected in this and is maintained. Because if you don't maintain it, if you don't protect it, that of who is powerful can come and take it from you. Then you end up regretting. While we are there, let us look at Ministry of Agriculture in Setswana and move forward.
Ipapatso ya go rekisiwa ga mmua tlhakanelo re etsang banne ba mafelo a batho botlhe ba ba nnang mo gone mo Namibia. Seno ke kitsiso e e botlhokwa thata go tswa lefapeng la temothuo, ditlhapi, metsi le tlhabololo ya mmu. Tsweetswe re etsa ka kelotlhoko mme lo bolele ba lolapa la lona, baagisanyi le ditsala ka molaetsa ona. Tlogela go reka gongwe go rekisa mmu wa morafe ka ntlha ya eng? Ka gonne mmu o o leng wa batho botlhe ba Namibia ke mmu wa puso, mme o ka se rekisiwe ka tsela epe. Go nna le seabe mo dipuisanong dip tse di amanang go rekisa gongwe go reka ga o ka fa molaong gotlhelele. Molao wa Communal Land Reform Act, molao wa botlhano wa ngwaga tse di kile tse pedi le bobedi, o thibela ditiro tse di ntseng jalo ka tlhamalalo. Ditlamorago tsa ditherisano tse di seng ka fa molaong tsa lefatshe, dikotlhao tsa semolao. Ba ba tlolang molao ba ka duedisiwa madi kgotsa ba tsenngwa mo kgolegelong. Go kgoreletsa kutlwano ya setšhaba, go rekisa kgotsa go reka mmu wa setšhaba go ka baka dikgotlang tsa lefatshe le dikgotlang mo setšhabeng sa rona. Se o tlhokang go se itse, lefatshe la morafe ke la rona rotlhe, ke thoto e abelanwang e tshwanetseng go sologela molemo mongwe le mongwe. Sireletsa boswa jwa rona ka go tlotla lefatshe la rona, ka go tlotla boswa lengwa ya rona le go sireletsa tikologo ya rona. Go bega ditiro tse di seng ka fa molaong. Fa e le gore o belaela gore go na le kgwebo e e seng ka fa molaong ya lefatshe, tswetswe begela bolaodi jwa ditso lekgotla la mmu la bommasepala kgotsana ofisi ya lefapha e e gaufi le wena. A re direng mmogo go sireletsa lefatshe la rona le re le abelanang gore dikokomana tse di tlang di le dirise. Lefapha le ka se ikarabele mo tatlhegelong ya lefatshe ka ntlha ya go rekisiwa ga lefatshe la morafe go go seng ka fa molaong. Gakologelwa, lefatshe la morafe le botlhokwa fela thata. A re le bolokeleng, le babalesegile ebile le sireletsegile mo go botlhe. Ke lebogela tirisanommogo ya lona. Molaetsa wa radio o gasiwa go ya ka thuso ya madi go tswa pusong ya Namibia le Federal Republic of Germany go ya ka tirisanommogo ya German Development Bank. Go bona tshedimosetso ka botlalo, tsweetswe ikgolaganye le ofisi ya lefapha e e gaufi le lefelo la lona kgotsa ofisi ya dikitsiso tsa setšhaba ya lefapha la temothuo, ditlhapi, metsi le tlhabololo ya lefatshe mo nomoreng ya 061-208-7604.
Oh.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are looking at the issue of human trafficking. The issue of human trafficking. And maybe we just to look at the basic definition of human trafficking. It's just illegal transportation of individual people in order to benefit from their work or services, or end up at forced labor and also sexual exploitation. And when you speak about sexual exploitation, in most cases this happens to women where they are promised jobs. They are promised jobs, but when they enter in a foreign country, their passport confiscated, especially when they have been tricked by those powerful syndicates. There are still people who are making money for trading people. There are still people who are making money for selling people. You are there posting yourself beautiful pictures on social media, and one person indicate to you to say you are very beautiful and you deserve more. You can make a lot of money from being a model or from being an actor, maybe in Nollywood, maybe in Hollywood, maybe in India. Who does not want to go to the world as young Namibians, especially the young ones? Then they end up making arrangements for you, end up even to the extent of paying passport for you. Then you think your dream has come and you are the luckiest person in the world. Little did you know that you end up becoming a product, being sold to gangs, being sold to powerful, influential criminals that use, you know, victims of people who are sexually exploited. Then your life is destroyed. Because if you are in Myanmar, if you are in Thailand, if you find yourself in Bakong, you find yourself in, you know, in Asia, people are even in China or anywhere else in the world where people are speaking a language that you don't understand, and you are given instruction to say, we have paid for your passport and transportation for you to pay this amount of money. You need to have sexual intercourse with this number of people for you to repay me back. And at the end of the day, you become a product, and refusing to do so, end up in a dangerous situation, because nobody knows where you are. Nobody is able to trace you, and you find yourself in a container. That is why we are always being cautioned to say the information about human trafficking should be well distributed, and people must understand this thing. and online scammers are real. Not this one to say, give me 10 or 5,000 into 20,000 in 2 weeks. We have real scammers who give you money and calculate on you. And by the time you see it, you are finished and defeated. And people do not speak about this thing. And maybe it's also now the time that now it become now an international affair, Africans are being trafficked. We have illegal immigrants. We also have those who are being trafficked. And we also have illegal immigrants who end up being trafficked too because of the situation that they are in. Because desperate situation, you end up making desperate choices, which also end up becoming, not so good. And people here at home, they will miss you, or they will also put the pressure on the government to retain you. But when you went, you did not even tell people. That is what have happened. But before we go to the statement from the Minister of International Relations and Trade, it's just a matter of putting things out there. Why do you think people end up doing things for you for free? Why do you think somebody can just come from nowhere, end up doing things for you for free? How lucky are you? In this world we are living in, we must come to the reality to say there's no one who can do anything for us for free. Because that is not how the world is operating. We have to do something, then you must be able to get something. If somebody is doing something for you for free, and it seems good to be true, then there is a high chance that you are being tricked. If you know you don't have enough points, and somebody is providing you with 100% scholarship, and is also paying for your passport and your visa, you must be able to understand that there is something that you need to look into. Because if we come to that point of we may be poor, but we are not poor in thinking, we are not poor in reasoning, then it's more easier. And also on the aspect of sharing information, and Namibians, we must also be able to be good at sharing information. To say if the same somebody was scammed, but you are not sharing information because you want other people also to suffer the same fate, that is not good. If somebody was tricked and go outside the country, you just see a person come back and is not speaking anything. A person is quiet, maybe traumatized, but it's not sharing this information. Other people continue to become victims of those scammers. Because if you look at the statement from the Minister of International Relations and Trade, they made it very clear to say these are international syndicates. And when you speak about a syndicate is not a gang of people taking phones from the street or people selling drugs within a specific zone in towns or in city. It's not bank robbery. A syndicate is a well-established organization which have structures, which have offices, which have professionals and experts, but these are criminals operating. Some are also working together with some corrupt officials within certain governments. And a syndicate is something that is also very difficult to uproot, because if you want to understand it very well, it's difficult to uproot because it's cutting across. There's leaders, it has committees. That is why when you look at the ad hoc committee of South Africa ad hoc committee of inquiry, be able to realize that there's complication in terms of crime, because syndicates, if they infiltrate you, it's very difficult unless you deal with the victims of the syndicates. That's why the ministry is speaking about Namibians became victims of international syndicates. Then they find themselves in Myanmar and Thailand. So we'll look at the statement and interpret it for you. Then you also look at the background of what have happened. Then you also look at what are the reports saying, especially from international UN. What is the report saying? What people end up doing when they become a victim of human trafficking, and what can we do moving forward. And trafficking is not only happening in Thailand and Myanmar. It's happening everywhere. Even in Africa. It's happening everywhere. Even in Africa. Because some people, they end up being tricked based on the situation that you are in. And it's quite heartbreaking, because those who are poor, majority of us who are poor, who are vulnerable, we find ourselves also become victim of those who are too powerful and exploit our situation. Because a poor young lady, maybe at the age of 18, the only wealth that he has is the body, the value of her body, maybe the beauty, maybe the future potential. But because of poverty, because of maybe her being academically ungifted, then that of which is only that she depends on, maybe one day she was dreaming of becoming a model, dreaming of becoming an actor, that value will also be end up taken. Because that is what the world that we are living into. And also the act of liking things. And we should really speak to ourselves to see how many of us like things even if we did not work hard for them. There are a lot of us who like things. And the liking of things can also be the foundation of, being trafficked. And we need to look at this thing with both eyes, so that we can be able to protect ourselves and also to protect others, not to fall victims. Imagine Namibia, we are already having our own problems. Then syndicates, scammers, they also target us. And who are the participants too? Because there's always a thing which happens to say there's nobody who can destroy you if there's nobody who is closer to you. Because if there is no enemy within, there will be no enemy that can come and destroy you. That is why what we look at is also that how many also of Namibians also who play a role in facilitating these processes. How many Namibians play a role in facilitating of this process? Because if you play a role in facilitating of this process, will become an enemy of the state, and you also need to be taken care of, especially in terms of the law. You need to be to face the law, and also those who facilitate some of this false information should really be dealt with. Because looking at this aspect, it's a destruction of life, disruption of our economy, and is something that should not be tolerated at all, especially moving forward. So. It's 1 minute past the hour of 7. Looking at the Ministry of International Relations and Trade, it stated that it gave an update to say there are nationals or national who are affected by related activities in Myanmar and Thailand. And one of the things which was stated is that the situation stems from an arise in sophisticated transnational crime syndicate that lure foreign nationals to region under, false legitimate employment, and also targeting those who are seeking for opportunity online, recruitment, education, and sport. When you are there online and you are looking for opportunity, somebody may send you a fake vacancy, then with a lot of money. So you are going to work, let me say you have a degree in accounting. Then somebody will use you, send you a vacancy in the vacancy in Thailand or wherever they are, then I also tell you to apply, because you are standing a good chance when you apply. Then they can also come up with an online interview that looks legit, then they congratulate you for making it. Then they will come and also they may even pay for your transportation. And you go there with thinking that because, you know, when you are played, when you are scammed, what is in your mind, you already think about who you are going to show off, how you are going to update your status when you reach Thailand, when you reach Russia, when you reach UK, when you reach Nigeria, when you reach Egypt or Ghana or wherever the syndicate is. You don't really think and scrutinize to say, but what's so special about me? Don't they have really people in their country? And you also do not really go deep and do research to say, can I try to do research really to say what's happening to these countries? You just think about cars that you are going to buy, maybe the most beautiful partner that you are going to get married to, and how your parents are going to be proud of you when you return with those US dollars. But when you enter there, it's a nightmare, it's mayhem, it's chaos, it's what you don't expect. Now, the ministry stated that they are working together with International Organization for Migration and also Interpol, especially in bringing back these Namibians. What is also stated is that there is an ongoing investigation, especially regarding human trafficking. And the ministry have also stated that last year, International Organization for Migration has successfully facilitated the return of 7 Namibians who found themselves stranded in Myanmar. And currently, the ministry is looking at 24 Namibian nationals identified as being victim of these syndicates. And people are stuck there. People want to come back home. So I want to come back home. How can you come back home if you don't have a passport? If your passport is confiscated. And it's a work of those who are in diplomatic relations. It's a work of ambassadors there and high commissioners and our foreign relation professionals to make sure that Namibians return back home, and maybe also to look at that this is also one of the very important role of having embassies around the world, because when you have your people in trouble, it's through your embassy that you are going to bring back these people, that you are also going to cater for them, even in terms of food. And you are also going to assist them. If somebody is jailed, your embassy has to engage with you. If you are sick and you are in another country, even if you died there, the facilitator there is those who are sent at diplomatic missions. That's why you must be able to deploy somebody who is able to assist, especially in a difficult situation, because diplomacy is not only about building relations, it's also about assisting citizens. And these are some of the activities which they specialize in. Now, let us look at United Nations Office of Drugs and Crime. It has released a global report on trafficking in person. And when you look at this report, which was where the data is gathered from 155 countries, one of the things which was stated is that most of the governments are in denial. Most of the governments are in denial of the existence of human trafficking. And the report by United Nations Office of Drugs and Crime indicated that most common form of human trafficking is sexual exploitation, where the victims of sexual exploitation, which are predominantly women and girls, find themselves trafficked. Almost 80% of human trafficking is sexual exploitation. That's why majority of these people who find themselves being trafficked, female, mostly girls, young women, they find themselves being trafficked. That's why if you have a daughter, you must be able to sensitize her, especially with this information. And the report also indicated that 30% of the country which provided information indicated that gender traffickers, women make up large proportion of traffickers in some part of the world. Women trafficking other women is a norm, because it's easier for you to get information for somebody. It's easier for you to be tricked by somebody that you can relate to. If a young lady is telling you to say, if a young lady is telling another lady to come from out of her country and with promise of a job, it's more convincing than a man, because you may think otherwise, but it's stated that in the world, you know, when it's coming to trafficking of women, in most cases, women trafficking other women, and also part of men also included in this aspect. And maybe the question that is asked is that what happened, especially when a person is being trafficked? The first one, apart from sexual exploitation, there is also forced labor, and people end up working at undesirable wage, because one of the things is the fishing sector, that Thailand is known for trafficking workers, particularly fishermen, find themselves in a boat there that is at the sea for 6 months, and the wage that you are given, the food that you are given, you will not even afford the life to travel back, but only to maintain yourself out there. And some people started taking it as a regular, and some people start also coping out there. Then they only come back home after 3 years, or after they also start understanding the languages, after they also start understanding how things are happening. But in most cases, on top of sexual exploitation, these people also end up in forced labors and paid little to nothing. And the operation of this syndicate is so complicated, because if you speak about transnational, it's not only in one country. It has branches, it has offices, it has buildings, it has, you know, managers, and it's a criminal organization that we must be very careful about. And most of these people, they use internet. They use internet to communicate and traffic people. They use internet, and they also, at some point, they also end up paying for transportation. And when you get there, things that you see in movies, these are real things, because when you look at the rankings of Thailand, it's in the top 10 of most trafficked regions, trafficked destination. And even the government out there and the military is finding it very difficult to uproot some of these syndicates. So let us look at a short commercial break, then from there you look at the statistics, how many people were trafficked last year in Thailand, and also other part of the world, and also what have been done so far, especially by Interpol, that is an international policing organization, especially Interpol and also other agencies. Because when you see even actors, one of the actors from China also became a victim at one point. He was promised acting job, then was finally rescued by the government of Thailand. And this not only ordinary people, even most influential people, they also end up being trafficked and through those means. So let us look at the commercial break, then we'll look at the conversation, then we'll also be able to give you input, especially from the Villager newspaper of today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Why do you seem so worried?
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are indicating to you that you must be very, very careful, especially when it's coming to human trafficking, because it's at our doorstep. Because if you look at the numbers, especially looking at, you know, U.S. Has also been frustrated. U.S. State Department has also been frustrated, especially looking at human trafficking, because their citizens have also been trafficked, especially to these countries. But looking at the statistics of the top 10 countries with a rate of human trafficking, you'll be able to realize that at number one you have Afghanistan, number two you have Belarus, you have China, Eritrea, Iran, and Myanmar, North Korea, Russia, South Sudan, and Syria. Then the U.S. State Department also stated that looking at the victims of human trafficking, be able to realize that they stated that in Myanmar over 100,000 people in 2025. To be exact, the U.S. State Department gave it to say 120,000 have been trafficked in that region, in that country. And we speak about sexual exploitation, we speak about forced labor, and also recruitment, because the syndicate is expanding, and also recruitment in operating within the syndicate. You become an agent, you start also working for the syndicate, and you start also being paid to make sure that you also teach other people to come, or you attract other people to come and join the syndicates, or come and join, force them to come and work in Myanmar and also in Thailand. And what is also interesting is that some of these are just rote, because people end up finding themselves in Afghanistan because black market is not only selling drugs, illegal arms. It's not only selling pushed, rhino horns and elephant tusks. It's not only selling that, also human beings. And in sometimes they are not being sold in containers, as you see. Sometimes it's them giving themselves out there. Sometimes it's them applying for those jobs outside and finding themselves in those situations. Yeah, that's why I think about this way. Why do you think sometimes you see a person only on social media telling you to say, come back to this country. We are doing very well here. I'll be able to assist you. But these people are not able to come back home. Ask yourself that question. Maybe you know somebody from a village that has been outside the country. I'm not saying all of the people who are abroad. I'm not saying that. Maybe somebody who has been outside for a very long time. But by the look of things, he or she is showing a good life outside. But it's not able to come back. You want to tell me that you can be outside for 10 years. You don't miss your parents. What are you doing out there? And what are some of the things that these people are going through? And also maybe also to get an opportunity, not really to say, bring people in public and question them what really happened, but clear information about what end up happening to you when you become a victim of a syndicate, because these are professional criminals and they sell young ladies to bigger men in the black market. And there is the use of drugs and other chemicals. When a person is coming back to your country, it's no more in a good shape. Some people don't come back at home. Some people are ashamed. Some people also end up become violent too. And it's devastating, especially young people looking for opportunities abroad. Everybody is indicating to you that do not enter into anything that looks cheap, that look easier, that look like you are the only one in the world, unless you are already scammed, you are already cornered. Some people even paid the money that end up not receiving them. And look at the report of BBC, CNN is happening everywhere around the world. So we are continuing with the early morning scoop, and we are going to look at what the Villager newspaper has for us today. What the Villager newspaper has for us today, the 14th of January, especially looking at the highlights and what we have, because we are indicating to you, that when it comes to development, when it's coming to economic news, we are number one in Namibia, and we are known in SADC region, because we don't only reach you, but we reach you wherever you are, wherever you are finding yourself. That is why we are always we're making sure that for you not to miss out, make sure that you send your name and save this WhatsApp contact detail, 081-241-44, so that you can be able to have access to the Villager newspaper every Monday, Wednesday, and also Friday. And with the Villager newspaper, we don't only have economic news and developmental news, we also have advertisement that you'll be able to see. Now, on top of the page of the Villager newspaper, you'll be able to realize that Namibia diversified its hides and skin market beyond SA. It's quite interesting news to look into by Hinamina Varihangara, which shows that Namibia has diversified its market when it's coming to the sale of hides and skin. Because that time at the village, after you slaughtered the cow or a goat, you leave the hides there, leave their skin there. Because, there were a few people who were using them to make, leather materials, but few people, but majority of those hides were sent outside, and, they become dog food. But little did we know that, that is the money that we are giving to the dogs. But now looking at the market that, Namibia has diversified, it's not only South Africa, but you also have Italy there, you have a UK, and you also have Zimbabwe and many other countries. Just make sure that when it comes to page 2, page 1 and 2 of the Villager newspaper, you have read that and also understand. If you are in that business, you can also be able to enter that road, because if you buy Louis Vuitton, if we buy Italian leather, we can also supply the Italians with our skin of animals and hides. Then we can be able to make money from there. Looking at page 3 of the Villager newspaper, and it's quite a very good time, especially when you're at the beginning of the year and after the results came out, to say, at page 3, you have Guediva Achiever's Private Center. Guediva Achiever Private Center, where, they assist and also train learners in order to boost their grade 11 NSSCO results. And they are offering subjects such as English Second Language, Shindonga, Biology, Chemistry, Mathematics and Development Study, Agricultural Science, Geography, History, Economics, Business Studies, and Entrepreneurship and Accounting. And those who are interested, make sure that you read the Villager newspaper. Then you communicate with Mr. Natangwe. The number is there on Gwediva Achievers Private Center, there to boost your grade 11 results. And, you know, parents, investment in education is never a wrong investment. If you look at the Villager newspaper, then you get the opportunity also to get your kids to this school, because the faster the better, because they will be able also to realize that you are thinking about them, you are taking care of them, and they will be improving while on time. Yeah, looking at page 4 of the Villager newspaper, you can be able to see, you will see that, you know, farming is diversified. Farming is diversified. That's why those who love frog meat, you can also get the tips here. Farmers encourage frog farming. A farmer encourage frog farming. And you have Thomas Kanime, who is a farmer. You have Thomas Kanime, who is a farmer. And also, he also be able to tell you the technique that you can use, especially when it comes to farming in the area of farming of frogs. Say, it's not only about having a water pot for fish, but also frogs. And they have different techniques. They have different techniques that can be used in farming. But there is a full article by Lisa Shimi here. And Thomas Kanime is a researcher, a farmer. And he's also a former magistrate. So former magistrate who end up into farming, be able to tell you the techniques to say, don't only need to run and catch frogs, but you can also farm your own and understand them, understand their biological makeup, understand also their life cycle, and also understand also what they like, what they don't like, and have high yield. And it's quite a very interesting observation to look into this aspect, because, you know, one of the things that you need to look, we must be innovative, because if Namibians, we find frogs as part of delicious foods that we eat during rainy season, why can't we expand it not only to make it seasonal, but to farm them? And also, we were thinking about being innovative to say, if you have a pizza made of frog meat, do you think people will not buy? People will buy. Maybe it's going to be the best pizza in Namibia. It's only a matter of us being innovative and also adding value. And all those years, we have been just catching frogs from the ocean, from the pots, but there are methods of monitoring, managing them, farming them, and producing them at a larger scale, rather than running around the whole village. Then, you know, you also end up, you know, drowning. But when you mastered the art of frog survival, and you mastered their biological makeup, their functioning, the environment that they like, then you'll be able to become a good farmer, who not only are farming for personal gain, but also for you know, not only for consumption, but also for business. And yeah, moving ahead, you can also be able to look at page 5, where you have Kavango East School hit by placement fee and infrastructure challenges. That is an article by Anacreta Haikera. And, you know, receiving a lot of news from Kavango, especially Kavango, is I think the Minister of Education must be able to address these matters. Because when you look at ordinary level performance yesterday, when you also look at AS level performance yesterday, you realize to say, although we have a lot of challenges, bad news coming from Kavango, a lot of challenges happening, students are still proving themselves. They are still studying and they are proving themselves. That's why when there's an issue of placement, there's issue of funding barriers, government must intervene, because we see parents there, they are really putting more efforts, especially getting getting education for their children. And it is not correct to have one of the most poorest region with highest performing children, but infrastructure is not advanced. It's not okay. It's not correct. And this is also the region which have produced, you know, some of the most financed mind that you can find, because it shows their academic commitment. It shows their academic commitment. Some professors, academicians, even our prime minister, is a product of Kavango region. We must make sure that that issue, especially issue related to placement, issue related to funding, issue related to infrastructure, and also a question to say, do we still have children who are being taught in shacks, in under the trees, 35 years. I forgot it's 36 years actually now. Time is moving very fast. You find yourself at 40 years, 36 years after independence. And this is really something which need to be addressed. And for more information, read the article by my colleague Anacreta Haikera at page 5 of the Villager newspaper. And yeah, looking at page 6 of the Villager newspaper, there is a spot column. It's a spot column. There's a spot column by HD that is speaking about I Show Speed. I Show Speed, the intersection between socialization, globalization, and sport. So one of the very young, influential young person, and who traveled the world. And it's a TikToker. And looking at the content, you'll be able to see. And also, you'll also be able also to read the context about I Show Speed. And also to get motivation, especially to our young influencers in Namibia who are really putting on effort. Although there is still more time. There is still a challenge, especially when it's come to payment with YouTube and other platform. But you really find, remember there was a teacher who came up with a song and was trending and reached a million views, if I'm not mistaken. But if she was in other countries, she would be starting to gain money already due to the popularity of her video, which is also educative, and that content will generate a lot of money. Let us hope this year, Madam Emma Tioferes will be able to finalize registration, and the ministry will also be able to assist us in making sure that our influencers, our YouTubers, our content creators are paid as others in different parts of the world. And yeah, let's go to a short commercial break, then we'll continue with the Villager newspaper, especially when you are going to look at some of the reviews, on trade, on mining, and also on banking sector, and also be able to look at Woman Block, and also the sale of Woman Block that you need to also look into, especially with the Villager newspaper. However, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Innovative staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and it's 43 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving forward with looking at what do you expect, what do you read when you get content of the Villager newspaper for today. And there are industrial briefs that look at mining, that look at farming, and also looking at banking, and you must be able to understand that you'll be able to get along, and you'll be able to see these briefs moving forward, especially updating you on what's happening in this in different sectors, and what can you do to make sure that you expand in the content of those statistics. It's short briefs on uranium production. So say uranium production slows in November 2024. so in November 2024. And there's also the update which is indicating that looking at the sectoral update from extractive sector show that Namibia extracted amount of 870 tons of uranium during the month of November 2025. This, however, lower compared to the previous month production of 970 tons. And looking at that aspect, gold extraction is total of 944 kg of gold bullion, an increase compared to 909 kg produced in October. However, this was lower than 954 kg produced in the corresponding month of 2024. But when you look at global ranking in terms of critical minerals and also in terms of the quality of minerals, you realize to say, one of the things, especially throughout 2025, one of the leading minerals, especially in demand, is gold. To say gold has been in demand, and it has been sold at $4,000 per ounce, and you'll be able to remember that countries such as Zimbabwe have also benefited from that aspect, and also South Africa. And you can also be able to see that some of the prediction of IMF from the end of last year is that African, especially sub-Saharan Africa, will improve its economy, especially coming from the mining sector and oil and gas industry. But you know, the concern, my concern is that it's not on uranium. It's not on uranium. My concern is on diamond, because diamond has been going down for a very long time, and you are asking yourself, is it coming back? Is the world now just turning to synthetic diamond? Is the industry of diamond going back? And I was also asking myself to say, when you are looking at the events which are happening, and you are also looking at the Beers shed selling its shares, is this, I know it's not a dead horse, but maybe there will be some, you know, revenues which will be generated when those shares are bought from the Beers, because Angola opted for 80%. Angola opted for 80%. Botswana was proposing 50%, and Namibia also wanted a portion. But when it comes to mining, I think diamond is going down, because the world now is relying more on lab-made diamond. And you are also asking yourself to say, to what extent? Because if you see a multinational corporation selling its company, these people, they have been making calculation all over their lives. And could it be from a good faith, or is an exhausted horse if it's not a dead horse? Is it exhausted? But in an African context, even if it's is exhausted horse, how long is going to take us? Can it take us 20 years ahead? Because that of who controlled the Beers is also somebody who control the price of diamond and also control the deals. And there's also a banking brief here to say Retsego and the NetBank charge the lowest in mobile money. Retsego and NetBank charge the lowest in mobile money in comparison for the cost of sending money via a cell phone. And there is a comparison done here. You can also be able to read that brief. Then you'll be able to get your content. Now, looking at 2026 and the woman block, it's indicated that when you look at page 8, you can be able to see and read the sale back to school. Because especially the high school students, this kiwi shoe polish here, at just $16.99 Namibian dollars. That is kiwi shoe polish, assorted 50 ml. Then you can also be able to have shiny shoes, the cheese boys, and those who like making sure that their shoes are shiny. You must be like me when I was at the high school. Those who know me very well will be able to confuse the mirror and the shoes that I have polished. Make sure that you support the Woman Block supermarket, and you can only be able to do that when you read page 8 of the Villager newspaper. You can also see knickknacks, maize snacks, bale assorted at 50 times 20 gram. That is just at $57.99. Because what I've seen, is that part of the kambaki of your children, make sure that there is a knickknacks are there. Make sure that there is a knickknacks, because between breakfast and lunch, the child must be able to eat something. If it's not a knickknacks, maybe an apple. But at night, you can also be able to make sure that you have a real good chicken, which is a mixed portion of 1.5 kg. That is at, you know, $79.99. Then you also have Nola mayonnaise at, of 750 gram at $37.99. You have ice cream. And, you have also, Coca-Cola original. That is 2 liter at just $21.99. The woman broke for you. Woman broke for you. There is back to school sale, and many more. Make sure that, you know, you are not only satisfied with food, but you are also looking good and you have polished your shoes. And, yeah, that is from the Villager newspaper. And as it has always been indicated to say, you can only adapt, you can only learn, you can only increase your capacity. You can only do well within this respective area that you are into when you are reading, when you understand what is going on in Namibia and outside. If you don't read, my friend, you think people are speaking things that are not within your area. But you must be able to understand. You don't need to go deep into things, but at least have an understanding, because an informed nation, it's a nation that can be able to contribute to national development. Because if you have economic information, if you have developmental information, you know the difference between investment and saving. You know the difference between, you know, a real deal and a schema. You know the difference between a political rhetoric and also a developmental project. And it's also easy. It's also easy for you to hold people accountable. Because one thing I have seen, one thing I have seen these days is that I think Namibians, they become more awakened, which is a very good thing, because it also shows that there is progress to development. Because when it comes to accountability, it's no more this thing that we have been seeing to say politicians are corrupt, they're doing this. There's a question to say, why are you bypassing the document? Why are you bypassing this document that is guiding you, that you respect so much? And that's accountability. You see public sector is responding. Why are you bypassing Vienna Convention? You see that young people are presenting themselves out there, and also inform citizens too, to say the debate is now changing. And you see it if you understand how public policy is working, you understand how public policy is working, to say the debate is changing. It's not only to say, no, David, you are corrupt, or David, you don't do anything. But it's a matter of saying, David, why are you bypassing this document? Why are you contradicting your plan? Where are the data? That's why I'm always telling people to say, we must continue asking the data so that we can track our progress. Because if I have to take some of the statistics which we have got from last year, when NIDA promised us 30,000 jobs, we must hold that. They have a plan for that. They have an integrated strategic plan. And they stated that, and it's on record. We must have that. When NDP6 promised us 500,000 jobs, we must have that. And we must also find a balance to say, is it 30,000 job part of the 500,000? Or is different? If it's part of it, what is the plan? What is the progress? Because you can only ask a person to be accountable if you read, if you know information, if you have data. Then to say, if you say, we are driving from Okahanja to Oshiwarongo for 1 hour, at what rate are you driving? Are we on a bicycle? Are we in a Porsche? Are we in a bus? And is a bus moving to the same direction? That is why it's quite very important. That is not only the question. And remember, in the structure of deliverance and in the structure of implementation of public policy, there's quite a very big difference between what is called the big men of politics, which are national politicians, and the small men of politics. These are community leaders. To say, are the community leaders also being held accountable in terms of implementation of their policy? Do they have targets? Because this is the right time, because we are at the beginning. We have fresh, newly elected councillors. We have fresh, newly elected local authority councillors and regional authority councillors. They are setting their own plans, and it's also time. You will say you are not informed. It's also time for all the people who complain, all the people who are developmental enthusiasts, to make sure that they attend the state of constituency address, the state of regional address, where governors are going to address their people, where councillors are going to address their people. And also, stakeholders' engagement with town councils. Because if you have stakeholders' engagement with town councils, then you understand where the development is going. So that in 2026, at least, we do not want those news of City of Windhoek chasing vendors. They must speak at the beginning. Because when real business start, we should not chase each other. Ground squirrels and dogs. We must be civilized people. How can a 50-year-old woman run with a stock on top of her head, and a young boy who just come from recruitment of city police chasing her? It's not a good picture in a country where we are not even 4 million. Because we must speak from the beginning, and we must hold accountable those who speak good a prediction to us, and we must also ask them progress, especially when we say you have a game plan of transforming the informal sector by 2030. What have you done now? When you have a plan of financial inclusivity, what is your progress now? And you know, that is exactly what we need to do, especially when we are at the beginning of the year. But for me, David Shombe, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day from that side of the northern part of Namibia. And thank you for listening. Bye-bye for now. See you around. And continue following, liking, and sharing our page. And your comments are always valuable, especially in terms of discussing you know, the developmental conversation. And yeah, see you around. Bye-bye for now. Shap, shap.